Jaron the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Mike Mularkey is out. John Robinson is looking for the next coach of the Titans. We got loaded phone lines. We'll get to those in a second. Okay, Floyd Reese, I got to ask you a question.
Yes,
sir. As somebody who knows John Robinson very well, who essentially got John Robinson the Titans GM job, which you did, and what I want to know is this. Do you think John Robinson knows exactly who he's going to hire right now? Do you think he fired Mike Mularkey knowing who the next coach of the Titans was going to be? Or do you think he's legitimately, you know, at the point that John Curry was at, where he had no clue and had no idea what was going on and no way to find
every GM's got a list. Guys that, you know, at every position. Okay, if I were to lose a running back coach, this is what I would do. And I'm sure he's got a list of potential head coaching candidates.
Well, I don't want to go six deep here. I mean, I if you go hire a coach, if you fire this coach that's winning, I want you to go hire me a coach who can win more than the coach that you just fired. And I want you to know that you can do it. I don't want I fired Mike because I thought I could get Josh McDaniels, and then Josh McDaniels goes to the Colts, and now I'm stuck with Jeremy Pruitt. That's not what I want. I mean, I want to go get a real coach to coach the Titans. I hear Steve Wilks, you know, Steve Wilks is going to interview for the – who's that? You don't know who that is. So, I mean, are the Titans just going to go get some up-and-coming coach, or are they going to go get a coach that's actually a good coach, and is John Robinson qualified to be able to go out and find a good coach? I don't know the answer to that. He's never done it before.
He's never done it before. You're right. So,
well, do you have faith he's going to do it?
I have complete faith.
And what if they go 5-11 next year? They hire Mike Vrabel. They go 5-11.
I don't. If they were going to go 5-11, I mean, that's take them a while to get the thing together. I have no clue.
Unacceptable. 5-11 is not acceptable next year. Not making the playoffs after you fired the coach who did make the playoffs. Not making the playoffs is unacceptable next year. And like I said earlier, 3 years, make a Super Bowl or get out of here. That's my thing with John Robinson. If you're telling me that Mike Mularkey and his staff, even though, look, I didn't like the offensive coordinator either, but if you're telling me that Mike Mularkey is not good enough, then I demand that you go hire somebody who is good enough. And I'm just not convinced that person's out there. You know, it's like Deion Sanders said last week, people just think that there's great coaches lying around in the NFL, and that's not the case. And if there were, half the league wouldn't want to fire their coach every year. And I agree with Deion. I mean, to me, there's one great coach and there's everybody else. But you know the one coach I would take? I mean, and I'm dead serious about this. In a heartbeat, I would hire Jim Schwartz. What do you think of Jim Schwartz coming to coach Titans?
I like Jim. I've always liked Jim.
But as a head coach?
I mean, he's got head coaching experience. He was a head coach in Detroit for 4 or 5 years.
So do you want them to hire Jim Schwartz?
I don't know. I'm not going there.
Why not? That's your job.
No, it's not.
What's your
job? It was my job.
What's your job now?
Now we're just talking.
You're the expert GM on the radio. We need to know. Do you think Josh McDaniels is a Super Bowl caliber head football coach?
How do you know that?
You worked with him.
Who do you think is a Super Bowl caliber head coach?
Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Nick Saban.
Wrong sport.
I think Nick Saban could go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, Bill Belichick, you got one.
I've always loved Mike Zimmer. You know that.
So you think Mike Zimmer's one?
He might go to the Super Bowl. He might win the Super Bowl.
There's two. Who else?
Pete Carroll.
Three.
I'm out.
There you go. So we got three Super Bowl winning head coaches
in the
NFL.
But see, I don't know.
That means 29 teams don't have a Super Bowl winning caliber head coach.
Except I don't know these people personally. I've never worked with them, and I've never worked with anyone who has worked with them other than you. You have worked with Josh McDaniels. So if Josh McDaniels was a slap, you know what, then you would know that, and you would know that he can't win the Super Bowl. But if you were, when you were in New England for those 4 years, if you just were amazed at Josh McDaniels, you would know. Like when Bill O'Brien, like the three coaches you've gone to the wall for are Kirby Smart, Will Muschamp, and Bill O'Brien. Since I've known you, the three coaches that you've said, no, they're good coaches. And Kirby was 8-4, and I was out on Kirby and down on Kirby. And you were like, Kirby's a good coach. Trust me, Kirby's a great coach. Kirby. Well, we found out Kirby's pretty good. Will Muschamp, everybody hated because he stunk at Florida. And we all thought he was not a good coach. And you were like, no, Will Muschamp is a really good coach. Trust me. And it looks like Will Muschamp's a really good coach. Bill O'Brien, jury's still out on him, but you really went to the wall for Billy O. So,
I think all those guys are good coaches.
Would you go to the wall for Josh McDaniels?
Josh is a good coach.
Like you would Kirby.
Josh is a good coach.
Would Josh be a good coach for the Tennessee Titans? A good head coach for the Tennessee Titans?
I don't know. I've never been around him as a head coach.
You've never been around Kirby as a head coach either?
No.
And yet you were a believer in Kirby?
Well, only because you hated him. And I'm trying to tell you, you hated him the first year.
When I hated Jim Caldwell, I didn't hear a word from you about that.
You don't know anything about any of these guys, but it doesn't keep you from saying you hate him. And so I hate this guy at Georgia. What's he know? Young guy, another dumb. And all I said was, hey, he's a good coach. Will Muschamp is a good coach. And if they get a chance, they're going to find a way to figure it out.
I didn't hear you going crazy when I said that Jim Caldwell stunk. I didn't hear you saying, hey, Jim Caldwell's a good coach.
I don't really know Jim Caldwell.
Let's go back to the phones here on Jared and the GM. We got loaded lines. Frank is up next here on the show. What's up, Frank?
Nothing. I just wanted to tell y'all the next coach for Tennessee's coming out of New England. They're going to pep back up the Brinks truck, give them almost Gruden money, and they're going to get a good coach.
They're going to pay $10 million to a guy who the one thing that he did was draft Tim Tebow 25th overall. Really? I mean, that's the – if I were to ask you Josh McDaniels' head coaching career in a nutshell, it is that he drafted Tim Tebow 25th overall, right?
Yeah, and cut Jay.
So you're going to give him $25 million – you're going to give him the $10 million that Gruden got?
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying that's what the caller said.
Oh.
T is up next on Mike Mularkey. Thanks for calling. What's up, T?
Hey, how's it going, man? Look, first thing, man, I've been a listener, man. I've listened in faithfully every day. I just want to say that I'm going to be the first to say I was – all last week we were saying 0 + 0 = 0, and now Mularkey's out. I actually think that it's not a bad idea for them to go out and get Josh McDaniels. I think John – Robinson knows exactly who he wants. If not, I actually think they should go in and try to get Bill Cowher, man. Super Bowl winning quarterback, it'll work.
Thanks for the call. Now, I want to cut this off right now. I don't want to just do taking calls of, well, what about Jim Bob Cooter? I don't want to do that. That's boring. But, like, the Bill Cowher ain't coaching. Although, if Cowher did coach, I would take Cowher now. But Cowher's not coming back to coach. I mean, I think Cowher likes Cowher's.
I don't. After all the talk we had last week about New England, I mean, we had to go to Bill. Bill's the one that we need to get out of here.
Belichick?
Sure.
Now, I'll say this.
See, I mean,
I will say this. If those rumors are true.
We ran him out of New England.
I'll say this. If the rumors are true, and as much as you bag on the reporters, you know, is calling them fake news and all that, and you're 0.0, which I do remember. You know, if the reporters are right, which right now the scoreboard says reporters 1, Floyd 0. If the reporters are
right. Whoa, on what?
They were all saying Mike was going to get fired, and he kept saying no. So if we're doing that and the reporters are right, and this is the end of the Brady Belichick run, how great would it be if John Robinson pulls Bill Belichick out of the hat, Bill Belichick's next coach?
Sure.
I mean, I don't think it's much of a possibility, and I don't think Robert Kraft would let that happen. But I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I also don't believe the reports that Josh McDaniels is for sure going to the Colts. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.
We're going into it with really no preconceived notions. We have a vision for what we want the next head coach to look like, and we're looking forward to talking to candidates and seeing if they fit that bill.
What if they look for the candidates and there are no candidates out there that they like?
Keep looking. They'll find one.
I mean, I'm serious about that a little bit.
I have no clue. I don't know what the candidate looks like.
I mean, I'm a really be careful what you wish for guy. 9-7 into the playoffs, back-to-back years. I mean, look, when I was on the radio in Louisville, the Titans had Mike Munchak and Ken Whisenhunt as their coaches, and they were never talked about on TV. They were never playing any interesting games. It was never exciting. I remember watching last year the Kansas City game with my dad when Succop hit the 53-yarder, and all of a sudden it looked like the Titans might make the playoffs. And I remember sitting there before Succop took that kick and saying out loud, I've missed games like this. I've missed that feeling when the Titans have a shot to make the playoffs and they're kicking a field goal and you can't sit in your chair and you're standing up and you're watching it and you see it go through and you high-five the guy next to you. I missed that because we went a long time in this town without that. And honestly, even though I picked the Patriots in a blowout, I was a little sad yesterday when I woke up. Like, I was a little depressed. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like when the Titans lose in the playoffs. And that's the fan in me talking. The guy that grew up a fan of the team and all this. And it's like I forgot what it feels like the day after the Titans lose in the playoffs. And now we're going to fire the coach that got you there? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Be careful what you wish for. You better go get a good coach. Like this whole, well, we have no preconceived notions. It better be better than the last guy. That's the one preconceived notion that I've got. Now, if you go out there and you hire the next Bill Belichick, then you know what? I was wrong. But I'm not sold that that's what we're all going to see. Because there just aren't that. For every good coach that gets hired, how many bad coaches around the league get hired?
Oh, you'd have to look at the numbers. I don't know, but they're not very good.
I mean, it's got to be what, like one of eight or something? One of every seven?
I don't know. I mean, it's like quarterbacks.
I mean, let's go back to Mike's coaching class. The when they hired Mike here 2 years ago, Ben McAdoo was hired in New York. Chip Kelly was hired in San Francisco. Hugh Jackson was hired in Cleveland. Mike Mularkey hired by the Titans. Fired. Adam Gase, I don't know. And Doug Peterson seems to be doing a pretty good job. So, those are your odds. Good luck. Ethan is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, Jared. Well, first I want to start off by saying that the excitement that you're saying you felt during the playoff game, which I did too after we beat Kansas City, is the same elation that I felt this morning when I got to talk to my mom and say Mike is out. And the reason is because Mike is not a 9-7 coach this year. I don't care what the record says. He is. There was a call like less than an hour ago of somebody that was referencing the Atlanta coach and saying he was 4-12 and 6-10. You were saying, look, if Mike had gone that record, I see firing Mike. That's the record Mike would have if Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck are in this year.
You don't know that.
That is exactly the record. I absolutely know. There is absolutely no way we beat Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson the way they were playing this year. Or
why?
We can't say for Andrew Luck.
Why?
Because we looked ugly all year.
You beat Aaron Rodgers last year.
Okay. Last year we did. I mean, you could throw any fluke game in there that we won. We lost. We won.
You beat Alex Smith.
We beat Cleveland.
Alex Smith is the number one. Ethan, Alex Smith is the number one rated passer in the NFL in the year 2017. And you beat him.
He's got Andy Reid as a coach. Now, I get it. Andy Reid's a great coach. That was kind of a fluke game.
So you give Mike no credit.
So
hold on. You give Mike no credit for anything good that happened and blame
him. No. I want to say I like Mike. I really do. I like him a lot. I love that the players like him. I love that he's brought our team to this point. But, like, come on. You saw the same games I did. All of these were ugly. He's not a good decision maker. He just isn't.
I just don't understand how you – hold on, Ethan. I just don't understand how you can give Mike no credit for the good things he did and then tell me that, well, he would not have won if all those other guys played. I mean, it's like you're blaming him for things that didn't happen, and you're not giving him credit for things that did happen.
I'm not saying that. I give Mike credit for the things he's done, but I do not think that he's as good as we think he was this year.
How many coaches right now in the NFL do you think are great coaches? I mean, really good coaches.
Probably like three or four, honestly.
Okay, give me your four.
Honestly, some of the ones you named, I think Pete Carroll is a good coach. Obviously, Bill Belichick. I don't think, and I saw your Twitter stuff yesterday, I think Mike Tomlin's not that bad of a coach.
Oh, I think Mike Tomlin, they fired the wrong Mike. Thanks for the call, Ethan. That guy's got to go. Tomlin is the guy who's got to go. Because that team, I mean, they had no focus. The Pittsburgh, they're complaining about new contracts and the Patriots. And, like, you'd already gotten smacked by Jacksonville. And how do you overlook a team that already smacked you? That's the coach that should have been fired, not Mike Mularkey. And I go back to what the caller is not willing to give Mike, and a lot of people are like this, they're not willing to give Mike any credit for any of the good that happened. And yet I get the, well, if Andrew Luck had played Jared, well, he didn't play. That's how the NFL works.
That caller sounded exactly like you when you discussed Mike. Almost verbatim.
I've had Mike's back.
I really like Mike, but... look at this offense. So how can we do it? I mean, this is awful. We got to change this. How can that happen?
I have had Mike's back.
But I like Mike.
I've had Mike's back the whole time. I mean, this idea that I haven't had Mike's back is ridiculous. The one who hasn't had Mike's back is you.
Okay.
You're the flip-flopper. You're the one that's totally cool with them firing the winning coach. I mean, you know what? Like, I just want to take everybody that trip down memory lane because you weren't even here for this. So I'm not even sure you remember. But I remember because I've watched this franchise every day since day one. And I remember what it was like when Jeff Fisher would win four of the last five games in a regular season and keep his job at 8-8 for some unknown reason. And you had to go into another year of Fisher ball. And I remember when you felt like you had a great team and you'd play the Ravens and Algie Crumpler and Lindale White would fumble the ball and just in the blink of an eye, you're out of the playoffs. And I remember what it was like when they hired Mike Munchak and the fact that they were the worst 6-10 team I have ever seen in my life in 2012. And I remember when they brought in Ken Whisenhunt and he ran off Jake Locker and that team was 2-14 and they couldn't beat anybody. And then the next year they were 3-13 and the quarterback played with a bad MCL and every game was 45-13. I remember that. See, a lot of you seem to forget it. A lot of people seem to think that it's really easy to not lose 43-14. And a lot of you people seem to think that there's a bunch of coaches out there that can go beat the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs. And I'm here to tell you all something. There's not. There's not. You know how many times Belichick and Brady lose in the divisional round? I think they've lost once. Maybe twice. There are not a lot of coaches that you can hire that can get the Titans further than they are. Because I remember that. Because I remember those moments. And look, I was hard on Mike when they went to Jacksonville and laid an egg at the end of last season and missed the playoffs. And I was hard on him when they went out west to Arizona and lost that game and then lost to Jimmy G and the Niners. Because he should have won those games. But this idea that you don't remember what it was like when Vince Young threw his pads into the stands. And you don't remember what it was like when this team was picking third overall and fifth overall and had all these high draft picks. And now it's just like, well, I mean, Mularkey, and all he could do was get us to the divisional round and lose to the Patriots. Everybody loses to the Patriots. It's been that way for two decades. I don't get, like, everybody I hear just seems to think, well, you know, he didn't take the wind in the fourth quarter of that game. That's his fault. He should be fired. And then I ask, like, okay, so who's a good coach to go get? Oh, I don't know, but we got to get somebody. You got nobody to get. You got nobody to get. The one guy you all want is the guy who drafted Tim Tebow. He drafted Tim Tebow 25th. Overall, and that's the guy you all want, and you might not even be able to get him. So if If they go back to being 2-14 and they go 5-11 next year, and just ask the Houston Texans, because it can't happen. If they go 5-11 next year, or I got to watch Mike Munchak football again, it's everybody's fault. It's your fault, Floyd. It's John Robinson's fault. It's everybody's fault who just thinks a new coach can come in here and light it up. I think I'm off my rant now. But, I mean.
Feel better?
I just, it's like I'm in a room with people that don't remember what the last 15 years of the Titans have been like. It's like they think this team should be dusting off Lombardi trophies in the lobby. I mean, they're just not. We'll get to your calls next. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, ESPN 1025, the game.
I think Terry did a very good job. Very good job. Being a play caller, that's not easy. I thought he did a very good job.
Okay, now I wouldn't have said that. I mean, Mike did dig his own grave a little bit with the Rubisky stuff yesterday. I mean, everything should have said, you know, hey, did you think Terry did a good job with the play calls? I would have said something like, you know, I think we got to go back and look at the tape on each individual one of the season when we do our self-evaluation. But, I think that Terry has proven he's a good coach. End of story. I wouldn't have said he did a great job.
Probably a good idea.
I wouldn't have said that everybody's coming back. Because you don't know who wants to leave on your staff either. I mean, that's the other thing. But I thought all along Mike was just saying everyone was back because he gave the coaches the week off on vacation, and I think he probably wanted them to go, and he doesn't want anybody on vacation to find out that they got fired because he told the media. He don't want to see Corey Curtis tweet out, right, so-and-so's fired, and now all of a sudden the quarterback's coach is calling you saying, well, Corey Curtis is saying on News 2 that you fired such-and-such, so... That's just the thought there. I thought Mike was lying about it. Apparently seems Mike was not lying about it. But now, I mean, look, the next coach they hire, it's on John Robinson. You know, he's going to be in charge of the staff. I think he's made that clear here, right? Because he wanted a certain coach or coaches gone, and Mike didn't want to do it. Mike left. John's in charge of the staff of whoever takes this job.
No, I mean, John won't. Are you saying hire the staff?
I mean, he's going to have a big say in it.
Well, I'm sure he'll have a say. I mean, he'll probably sit in every interview, and they'll discuss it with, you know, whoever the head coach is. But then I think it'll be the head coach's staff, if you will.
Yeah, but you can't say that the head coach has full authority of his staff when clearly the last head coach got fired because you wanted him to change his staff. So you can't say that the head coach, that Josh McDaniels, is totally in charge of this staff.
Well, you can say John Robinson runs the entire football program. Until Amy knocks on his door and says, you're fired. Then what?
So were you in charge of the coaching staff when Jeff Fisher was the coach, or was Jeff in charge?
No. I actually turned it over to Jeff.
This is a big mistake. It's how we all ended up with Norm Chow. Let's go to the phones. Back to him we go. JP's up next. What's up, JP?
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks.
Hey, what about coaching royalty? 30-year-old safeties coach Steven Belichick. Think he's ready to
JP, no. And I don't want to do – I don't want to take calls of people that are like, you know who would be a good coach? I don't want to that, – because that's just – it always turns into people calling for Les Miles. It always does, and I'm just not in the mood for that.
Is Les Miles out there?
He is out there.
Oh.
Chuck is up next on the Titans. What's up, Chuck?
How's it going today, fellas?
Good.
Hey, Floyd, how about those purple people eaters, huh?
Wow.
Chuck, keep on the Titans. Titans. Stay on Titans.
Hey. Okay, let me ask you, Floyd. First of all, Floyd, I feel for you have to sit next to this guy every day. You try to explain to a wider guy you can't disagree with what people want you to do, and you just threw your hands up. I understand that. But here's the thing. I agree with the other caller. Andrew Luck had never lost to the Titans, okay? Deshaun Watson put 50 points on them. Those are three games, and even with those quarterbacks missing, they struggled to beat those teams. They lost a bad Arizona team. Jimmy G beat them in San Francisco. Yeah, I agree. They just fell into that record this year because of the teams on their schedule. They had a pretty favorable schedule this year. But, no, their offense was very bland, very predictable.
So for every win that you don't give them credit for, do you not give them credit for beating Jacksonville twice, including blowing them out once?
I give them credit for that. Jacksonville, their first one early prior to the season. The last one they had to win, Jacksonville pretty much was already set in the playoffs. And, you know, but anyway, I didn't see that game, so I really can't comment on that one. But the rest I was
so, okay, what about Seattle when they beat Russell Wilson?
Again, that was early in the season. And when we saw Seattle didn't make the playoffs, so we saw what that led to. Seattle was struggling early. I mean, last year they beat the Packers. I was at that game, and the Packers made the playoffs. The Titans didn't.
Thank you for the call, Chuck. I just don't believe in this sense of, well, you know, that luck was out, so we don't give Mike any credit for winning the division when he won these games when those guys were hurt. I mean, the coach before him didn't make the playoffs because he lost Dan Orlovsky, I think, was the quarterback that he lost to when he was with the Colts. So I don't. And I know you don't believe in that. Well, the Texans were hurt, so you don't give Mike any credit for that. I know you don't believe in that.
No, I mean, I don't. Whatever's there, all you can do is beat the teams that are there. You know, so, I mean, you can make excuses for them. But last year, people were made, Mariota got hurt, and, you know, he broke his leg, and then on and on and on. I mean, everybody's going to always have reasons. I mean, it doesn't.
I think it boils down in two phases. One, nobody liked Mike when they hired Mike. Like, the record was what it was, and the fans weren't impressed, and they thought they were going to go out there and get a great coach. And so they started off already not liking Mike. Then they won, and they went 9-7 the first year, which nobody thought was possible. So everybody that still didn't like Mike, they kind of ignored it. Like, okay, yeah, whatever, we'll see, you know. But they weren't upset about Mike at that point. Then they went 9-7 this year when they thought this team was going to go like 12-4 or 11-5. And so they complained and complained and complained. And then they won, so the fans were like, well, okay. And then they lost to the Patriots. And it's like, get rid of him! He got to go! And so now they feel like they never liked him to begin with. And Mike does not have the rah-rah, fiery on the sidelines personality, which I don't think should matter, and it doesn't matter, but it, I guess, does to you all watching at home on TV.
Well, I mean, I remember in this very studio after we beat Cleveland, oh, they're awful. I can't believe it. I mean, you went on a rant about – how can that be? Cleveland's the worst team in the league, and we only beat them by 3 points. On and on and on, even though it was a win.
Well, if they had won that game by more points, Mike still have his job.
Do you think?
I don't know. None of this makes any sense to me. What it really makes sense, this is what I think it ultimately boils down to. John Robinson didn't think he was a very good coach. And so this was the first opportunity John Robinson had to get rid of him. So he took it. You know, the whole, well, we asked him to make staff changes and he didn't want to make staff changes, that to me is an excuse. If you really wanted to keep the coach, you could have done it. We all know that. You could have found a way. You could have found some common ground. You could have found something. But the truth is, John worked with the guy every day. John just didn't think he was a good enough coach. That's what it all boils down to. But now the question is, if John's going to feel that way, can John go find a better coach? Because if John doesn't go find a better coach, then it's John who needs to pack his stuff and go. Let's go to Shelby, who's up next here on the show. What's up, Shelby? Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Man, I feel your pain. I've been a fan for a long time, too, and lived through the Munchak and Whitten Hunt era. And I'm like everybody else. I hated the Mike hire at first. They won me over at the Detroit Lions game, and I honestly think that Malarkey is a really good coach. I can tell the players love playing for him. But I think if he's unwilling to part ways with somebody calling plays like throwing it to a rookie cornerback on 4th and 10 when the ball game's on the line.
That was so stupid.
And the halfback draw on 3rd and 2 and some of these crazy screen passes to Delanie Walker with Harry Douglas as the lead blocker. I'm not a football expert, but those plays aren't going to work in Pee Wee. So, I mean, if he's not willing to part ways with Trubisky, I think he does need to go.
Thank you for the call, Shelby.
I don't know. I mean, I agree.
The thing that I don't like, and I'm not trying to knock you on this or anything, but the thing that really does drive me a little crazy is, like, you were such a Trubisky champion. And you were such a – every time I would complain about the play calling, you would say something like, you don't even know what that play was designed to do. And I was
which is true.
It still stinks. And, like, you would get on me about that. And then when all these reports came out that the Titans wanted to fire Mike, you kept saying 0.0 and no chance and all of that. And now here you are just sitting there just you know, happy as a duck that they fired Mike Mularkey, and you don't, you're not even giving it a second thought. And I'm sitting here saying, what if you go out and hire the next Kent Wisenhunt?
I don't, I mean, I'm tired of, I've talked about it. Everybody knows how I feel. I'm done.
Well, but there are new people that are getting into their cars, so they haven't heard of that.
Well, yet. Explain my point then. You know where I am.
But then again, I still don't believe in your point, because your point is something that you as a GM did not believe in. You said that when you were GM, you never felt comfortable telling the coach who to hire.
Didn't you 5 minutes ago ask me, if you were the GM and you told him to fire and he said no, would you have fired the coach? Not 5 minutes ago. And what did I say?
You said that'd be hard.
I said, yes, I would. It wasn't five. Well, you're brain dead. You are fuzzed out today.
Yeah, but I'm not denying the fact that I'm an idiot. But you are denying the fact that you have not been behind Mike 100%, and now you're behind firing him 100%.
I am. No, I'm not. Jesus. Ryan, I mean, Ian, help me, please. Lord, help me.
I mean, is Floyd not being at least a little hypocritical right now?
I mean, if the GM says, hey, I would like to see some staff changes, or, you know, maybe we'll go in a different direction, and he says, well, I don't want to make those staff changes, then what are you going to do? Go in a different direction, I guess.
That was his decision. They came in there and offered him a contract. Here, we're going to give you an extension. We're going to give you an extension. Can you just tape this a few times so I can play it whenever I want? We're going to give you an extension. Now, can we talk about this? You know, how about adjusting this out? No, I'm not going to. Hello?
Are you sure that's how it went down, though?
Hello?
Like, are you sure that's how it went down?
I'm not sure of anything, nor are you.
Because I have a theory.
And you are even less sure now.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Floyd, you want to hear my theory?
It sounds like I'm going to have to.
Okay, here are your options. We will go to the calls.
Any of the options involve not hearing the theory?
Yes.
Okay, I'm off that one.
Okay, so this was the other option I was going to offer. Either my theory or Floyd has to offer us something insightful next about this whole situation. So you've now got to give us something insightful, and I want names. I don't want generalities. I want names. So that's next.
I don't know what insight. I don't know what I. I don't have anything that is insightful.
You've been in the league for 40 years. You've been fired. You've been hired. You've hired people. You've fired people. So that, Floyd being insightful, is next, unless you want to hear the theory.
Oh, no, I'll be insightful.
Floyd's insightful next. Jared to GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, loaded phone lines. We'll go to them in just a second. But Floyd Reese, you promised the people something insightful on the Titans' current new coaching situation. So the floor is yours for you to provide something insightful.
Okay. I would say that if your boss sits down with you and offers you a contract and then says, you know, but there are some things we probably need to adjust, I would say, okay, boss, we can adjust them and take the new contract. That's about the bottom line as it gets. That's as insightful as I can give.
Okay, now I'll make this argument.
Okay.
If you're Mike Mularkey and you've done things with this franchise in the last 2 years that had not been done the entire decade, and all of a sudden the GM wants to change everything up because he doesn't believe in your plan that you sold to him that he supposedly was behind.
I haven't heard any of that.
So then shouldn't they have? Well, it kind of plays into my theory.
Have you heard something that none of the rest of us have heard?
Well, what I've heard was that John was behind everything Mike was doing 100%. Apparently, okay. John was not behind everything Mike was doing 100%.
Well,
so
I've fine. Whatever. I'm done.
You act like it's Mike's fault that Mike got fired.
Whose fault do you think it is?
I think it's John's fault for firing him.
You're crazy as hell. You're sicko.
How?
If you get, I just told you before, they give you a choice. I go or you go. Which one are you going to choose? I'm out of here. I know that.
But I don't like the idea of firing the coach to get you to the playoffs.
That's what happens. That's life. In the NFL, it happens every year to somebody. I mean, it's nothing new, and we'll see it happen again next year.
Yeah, when the Titans fire that coach because they win two games.
So, I mean, it's you may as well get used to it. That's the way it is.
Tyron in Brentwood is up next here. That was not very insightful, by the way. Tyron, you go ahead. Tyron, hello? Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
a couple of things, man. I'll tell you
right now what I honestly think. I don't believe, I agree with you, Jared. I don't believe they wanted Mike Mularkey. I believe if there had been a 3-4 year extension on this table, I believe he would have parted ways with the offensive coordinator or whatever coach that John Robinson was wanting him to part ways with. I think they were going to make him a lame duck coach, maybe give him a 1-year extension, and he just said, screw you. I'm not going to sit there and throw my coaches under the bus when you don't want to commit to me long term. So I really think that's what it boils down to, and you're right, Jared. John Robinson has told us, you know what, going to the division round isn't good enough. So, yeah, he better bring in this guy that could get to the Super Bowl 3 years from now. See you later. And let me say this in closing. Can people stop with the Belichick tree? Just facts, people. The Belichick tree sucks. Once they leave Bill Belichick, they suck. The only decent one is Billy O'Brien. They all have sucked when they left Belichick. So, please, stop recommending the Belichick tree. It's Belichick, not Jim Jamal.
I think that's a very fair point. In fact, going back to Bill O'Brien, thank you for the call, Tyron.
I think we're going to end up with Belichick, Tyron.
I'm tweeting that out right now. I am tweeting this out. You said it, so I'm going to tweet it out. Floyd Reese, former executive of the Patriots, believes that the Titans are going to end up with Bill Belichick.
Got to be careful what you say around this guy, Floyd.
He said it. I didn't say it. He said it. But back to my point. You know what Bill O'Brien's accomplished as a head coach in the NFL? He lost. He got his butt kicked by the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs. That's the furthest he's gone. But they didn't fire him now, did they? Now, he did make staff changes. But they didn't fire him.
Huh. Made Jeff's staff changes?
By the way, Belichick's going to lose both his coordinators this year, and Saban's going to lose both of his coordinators. Is there any fear that Belichick or Saban are going to fall because they will lose both coordinators?
Not much.
Okay. That's how I feel about this whole talk of, oh, God, coordinator off that. Okay, well, I'm not worried about Saban losing Jeremy Pruitt and Brian Daboll, so obviously it's not so much them than it is the other guys. Mike's up next here. Thanks for calling. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I had a question. I don't know. I guess I'm ambivalent about what happened this morning. I'm kind of a Mularkey guy. I know that's not a popular position. This team has been fun to watch the last two seasons. Frustrating as hell sometimes, but fun to watch. I thought that they had a good culture going, and Mike was a big part of that. But I wanted to ask specifically, in the 2016 season, it looked like they developed their game really, really well. Like, it took the whole season to do it, but they started out with sort of simple concepts. The team started to pick them up, and they were able to, by the end of the season in 2016, it looked like they were on like a really good trajectory towards getting Mularkey ball down and starting to figure it out, and the team seemed really behind them. In the second year, it just looked like, I don't want to say the wheels fell off, but it just looked like their plan for development wasn't panning out, and it seems like there are just so many factors involved in it, and I wanted to hear what you guys thought. I mean, I'm kind of big also on Tajay. I think I called up at the beginning of the season and said that I like Tajay. I think they missed him this year. They missed a second-year receiver, and there's somebody experienced in the scheme. I think they had a lot of injuries, that they were playing close to the vest, guys that were hurt. The team seemed to regress, but it seemed like there were a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't really know about, and I'm wondering how much did that get put on the coach and how much of that is just dumb luck?
Yep, thanks, Mike. Floyd?
Well, if the players that you bring in are not improving, of course that ends up on the coach's head.
But what if those players aren't really all that good? Like all the wide receivers, Davis, Taylor, Jonnu Smith, like what if they're not smart enough to play for the Titans? Like they're just not smart, so they can't play in the NFL. Well, then isn't that John Robinson's fault?
Yeah. if that in fact is the case. But what about Matthews? Matthews is smart enough and has been very productive. Where'd he go?
I'll say this. Mike did make a staff change last year when he fired his wide receivers coach, and I think he hired a worse wide receivers coach.
They have. The wide receivers have done nothing. I mean, it's embarrassing.
More of your calls, 615-737-1025. Plus, what does this say about Titans ownership? Not just the fact that they fired Mike after he won, which, by the way, again, is just so stupid to me, but what does it say overall, the whole story? Because to me, I think there's a lot of worry to be had there. We'll get to that coming up next, plus more of your calls. It's Jared and the GM. Tell the Truth Monday continues next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.